programs, views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. This is your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And we've got a special program planned for you tonight here, especially in the first half hour. We've got a guest that's coming on. Absolutely amazing story. You will appreciate that. But we're going to open our program in a word of prayer here first, get a couple of announcements out of the way. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you for giving us this opportunity that we have. We just pray that we'd use it for your glory. Pray that you would bless the program tonight. Help us to be a blessing, encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us to point people to Christ, to the things that we talk about. And we just pray that you would just, use this as an opportunity to encourage believers to do more for you. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We're located, a small church located midway between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio, Northeast Ohio. And we're just thankful God gives us the opportunity to be on here every Sunday night. Give a shout out to our listeners down in Tampa tonight. We've certainly been praying for the folks down there, and we're thankful that things weren't any worse than what they were. And so we just appreciate our listeners down there and praying that everything is going well with recovering from the effects of Hurricane Irma there a couple of weeks ago. And then, of course, our prayers certainly go out to the people in Puerto Rico and parts of the Caribbean. You look at Maria having gone through and just the utter devastation in some of those areas. And you look at these things that are happening, and it makes people think about what the Bible might have to say and things like that. And of course, if you're listening to me tonight, you survived the destruction of the world yesterday. It was scheduled to come in. Nibiru was going to wipe us all out. And if you didn't see it coming, it's because it was coming from the South Pole, so you wouldn't see it. Of course, everybody in the South should have seen it, but they put it off. They actually put it off Friday night. One of the main people putting that ridiculous story out there on Friday night said, well, it's actually October 21st. So since that's been put off, we're on the radio this evening, and we hope that the program will be a blessing to you tonight. And along with that, I have a special guest. Last night, I had the opportunity to be at the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, and at their annual missions dinner, missions night. And we had a great time with Pastor Rusnacko and many of the people there. Some of the people who listen to the program and some of our callers were there, and nice to see all of them. And while we were there, and various missionaries were presenting their ministries, one young man came up, and he presented what I think is absolutely fascinating ministry that shows the amazing things that God is doing in our world today. And with that, I'd like to welcome to the program here tonight, Steve Moldoff. And Steve Moldoff is a missionary.
Good evening to you, Pastor Al.
Welcome. Glad to have you with us tonight. If you would like to introduce yourself briefly here real quick, and then we'll get into this ministry. Go ahead there, Steve. All right. We'll get Steve here in a minute. Steve, you hear me? Just go ahead and talk. We're having a trouble connecting.
All right. I think, can you hear me now?
I got you. You're coming in fine. I was going to say, okay. Give us an introduction to yourself, and then from there, we'll talk about this amazing opportunity, this amazing work that God is doing there in Papua New Guinea. So go ahead and introduce yourself to our audience.
Well, thank you so very much for the opportunity to be on the air tonight and share with all the listeners just an amazing thing God is doing. My name is Stephen Maldoff, and I was a missionary in Australia, in the outback of Australia, for 11 years, where the Lord allowed my family to start a church and then eventually turn that work over to an Australian man who continues the church very faithfully. The Lord moved my family back in 2014 back to the United States, where I then became the Southeast Asia Director of Baptist International Missions Incorporated. BIMI, for short, is one of the independent Baptist mission boards that operates in based out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. And as the Southeast Asia Director, I kind of work with and assist in kind of help keep accountable the various missionary families that are scattered all throughout Southeast Asia and the South Pacific. And one of the places that I guess kind of fall under my jurisdiction would then be the country of Papua New Guinea. And the Lord has just done, he's doing amazing things all across Southeast Asia and the South Pacific. But I definitely have to say he's doing some very unique and almost biblical miracles in Papua New Guinea with the opportunities he is giving us to get his name out and his word out across the country.
And Stephen, I want to mention something too while you're at it. Like you said, you've been down in Australia for a number of years, and many of our listeners know that my wife and I were in the Samoan Islands for a number of years ourselves in the 1990s. And just had to tell you, we were talking after the program last night. Fa'apuina, that's the name of the gentleman we were trying to think of that was working in Samoa. I told you it would come to me. It came to me last night before I went to bed. And for our audience, that's the name of another missionary that's there and had to work in Samoa. And then, of course, Brother Savale, which some of our listeners know about as well, is there, and you've been in that area. So having had a little bit of a touch with the South Pacific, it's a unique area of the world, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's very it is very unique and very, very just neat, for lack of a very better descriptive word. Obviously, it's a lot of those islands and things. You have a lot of the tropics, and you get the kind of the beauty of what people think of in Hawaii, but then there's also underneath it all a I think a more openness and responsiveness to Christian teaching. Sadly, with that, you know, they basically, people have their ears open to anything that is deemed Christian, but there is a great responsiveness in the South Pacific Islands, whether it be Samoa, whether it be Fiji, Tonga, and other nations like that, Papua New Guinea included, that they really have ears to want to hear truth about Jesus Christ.
And what's really amazing is the opportunities that we don't have here in the States to go into some of these areas. And with that in mind, God has opened up a tremendous door of opportunity for you in Papua New Guinea, hasn't he?
Oh, it is amazing. Back in 2016, in March of 2016, myself and some of the other leadership over at the Mission Board of BIMI, we were asked by the Ministry of Education, which is basically the kind of higher up in the government, the highest official overseeing the education department of Papua New Guinea. And they invited us over in March of 2016, and we met with them. And basically, the government has asked that we facilitate the distribution of Bibles to every single school child in the entire nation of Papua New Guinea. And so that is a door that has swung wide open to get the Bibles into the hands of 2.1 million students in that nation. But it's not just about getting them the Bibles, which is exciting in itself. But also the government then has allowed us the permission to go to a school and hold an assembly. And so we hold an assembly and have all the student body from that school, they gather and they listen, and we get to present usually about a 30-minute program where we put together a kind of an introduction about the Bible that we're going to give to the students. And then we give a very clear, very direct message of salvation to the students. And then we follow that up by individually giving the Bibles to the students. Like we say, this is your Bible. Put your name in it. You know, take it home and things like that. And all in about 30 minutes, we take it to school. What an opportunity, though, to go into every school in the entire nation and give the students not just the Bible, but also a presentation of the gospel with that Bible.
And that's just absolutely amazing. And, you know, to have that opportunity, but you shared a little bit of this last night. And for our listeners, what happened that caused the government of Papua New Guinea, the government officials, to contact you to desire the Bible to be distributed?
Yeah, it's an amazing thing of how God was working behind the scenes. We didn't find out what I'm going to share here in just a moment. Up front, we found this out kind of after the fact, later on after we already were over there meeting with the government officials, but it was very neat to see how God brought it all together. Back in about April or May of 2015, philanthropist over here in America, in the state of Indiana, contacted the government of Papua New Guinea and said that he wanted to give them a copy of one of the original 1611 King James Version Bibles. And I don't know all the stories of why that man chose Papua New Guinea of all places, but I do know that he presented to them in April of 2015 this Bible. A group of delegates from PNG came over to Indiana. Our vice president, Mike Pence, was present at that kind of transfer of the Bible over to the PNG delegation. And they brought that Bible back to their country. And it was accepted, and when it arrived at the airport, there was a crowd of people, and they made a big presentation. The Speaker of the House of Parliament made a speech and said that this book, this Bible, and the teachings within this Bible needs to be the foundational teachings and principles by which that nation is governed. And so they then took that Bible, and they put it in the center of the parliament. And I've had the privilege to now be in their parliament and see it for myself. That there, and if you can envision, you have kind of where the Speaker of the Parliament sits, kind of equivalent to like our U.S. Congress, where the Speaker of the House would sit. And then right below that is a table. And on that table is kind of the law books, so the constitutional law books of the country. And then right above that, kind of elevated above that, is the Bible. And that's in the center of those law books. And they said that the Bible has to be at the center of all the laws that this country now makes. And so that was going on in 2015. So God was already working, getting them the Bible into their country. And there was an openness to this, saying, we need this in our land to be a basis from which we govern our country. Well, then secondly, then in at the end of the school year in 2015, the Department of Education was kind of facing a dilemma of, how do we handle some of the discipline issues we're seeing in our students? We're seeing a moral decay. We're seeing a decline in behavior. We're seeing more misbehaving. What do we, as a leader of the Department of Education, what can we do? And so they held a forum and held a kind of a discussion, as most places like that would do. And one of the things that they came to the conclusion was, we need to get back into our schools the teachings of the Word of God. Because they said, if we can get the students to fear the law of the Lord, we can get them to hopefully fear the law. And so with that, they said, well, we need to try to get Bibles into the hands of every student. Well, like most government programs, when the school started up, school year started up in January of 2016, because they go on a year basis from January to December. When they started up in January of 2016, they had the greatest of intentions to get Bibles to the hands of the students. So they got some Gideon New Testament Bibles, and they were only able to get them to a few of the year 12 students, and it didn't go out the way they had hoped. And it kind of flopped, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it. So then in March of 2016 is when they contacted us to say, hey, would you come on over and would your agency kind of take this and give Bibles out to every student? So those were two factors. Then one more factor going on again behind the scenes was in 2015, the country of Papua New Guinea, if anyone isn't familiar with it, it's a very diverse nation. There's 815 languages that are spoken across the land, and there's about 1,000 different tribes that are there. And so the country, as they were going to kind of make plans for the celebration of their independence, of their 40 years of independence as a country when they gained their independence from Australia, they thought, well, what makes our country so diverse? How can we unify it as one? How do you unify a nation when you have 815 languages? Do you have 1,000 tribes? What is going to be the thing that we can rally around as a people that says, yes, this brings us together? And so, again, like government agencies do, they do studies and research and things of that nature. And they came back with one answer. And that answer then they decided to solidify in a physical way by what they call the Unity Pole. And I have seen a mock-up of this Unity Pole. It's sitting in the office of the Secretary of the House of Parliament there in PNG. And it's a big obelisk, sort of like if someone was to imagine the George Washington Monument, a big obelisk. And on that obelisk has the list of all 850 languages. Then at the base of that obelisk is four tiers of kind of like pedestals. The base of the pedestal is a ruby rock base, and on it, the very foundation of that whole kind of what's going to unify the nation, they have engraved the Word of God. Then the next tier up is a pedestal made of emerald, and that says the Constitution. And then the next tier up above that says the leaders of PNG, and then the next tier of that says the people. And then again, on top of that, those four kind of tiers on the bottom of the pedestal, then is the Unity Pole, which says the 850 names of the different languages, basically signifying this. This is the way that nation is going to unify 1,000 tribes and 850 languages, and the most key things is going to be that the Word of God has to be something that we as a nation make as the foundation of our country. And then if we as a nation make that the base of our of who we are as a people, and then we dictate our laws based on that, and then we as our government leaders follow after the laws, which are then hopefully based on the Bible, and then the people after that, that is what's going to unify us as a nation. So all of that goes on in behind the scenes. And then we come out in March of 2016, meet with the Department of Education, and they say, we open the doors to you. You can go to every school in the entire country and give Bibles out to all 2 million students in this land. So it's just an amazing door that has been swung wide open by God.
Well, and you're listening tonight, of course, to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and I'm joined with Stephen Moldoff, missionary working in Southeast Asia and in the South Pacific there, and we're talking about this absolutely amazing opportunity, this door that has swung wide open, as Stephen Moldoff has said, where God has working through the government of Papua New Guinea and has reached out to Baptist International Missions to bring Bibles in to supply to every student in Papua New Guinea. There's more to this story yet that we're going to try and get to a little bit before we come down to the bottom of the hour here. Stephen Maldoff, as we're talking about this, there's two questions, I guess, that occurred to me. Does the benefactor that sent that original King James 1611 Bible to Papua New Guinea, are they aware? Do they know what's happening with the Bibles now? And number two, if somebody wants to get involved or find out more about this effort to supply Bibles, what can they do? So I give you a two-part question there.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you. The first answer is this. The gentleman who gave the Bible to the people of Papua New Guinea, actually, he passed away about a month after he made that donation to the mm-hmm. government. And so he's looking down in glory, and
oh, yeah.
He may be aware there, but he actually passed away just about a month after the transfer was given over. So he, you know, kind of on this side of things, wasn't aware of what was going to happen, but it's pretty amazing now as he looks in glory. The second aspect is, how can people get involved? Well, and to keep updated, well, at our website, www.bimi.org/PNG, we constantly are putting up there updates, videos, different on-the-ground reports of since we've been involved with this, basically going back to March of 2016. But really, we put a lot in there since June of 2017, when we have been physically handing Bibles out to the students of the country. So bimi.org/PNG, and they'll see updates and a lot of different things, photos, videos, summaries, kind of journals of what's been going on out there. Real good, exciting things to read.
And really, it is. It's fascinating. And I've been looking at some of these things myself. And the question then also comes up. You've been passing these out to the public school students and in the high school level and things like that. Do you have the opportunity to reach out to other students in New Guinea beyond the high schools?
Yes, actually. One of the amazing things that happened is just recently, when I was over there, and then some of the other gentlemen that work with it, another gentleman named Alan Brooks, he's another very key cog. He's the assistant Southeast Asia director. He got to present before the parliament just about a month and a half ago. And there was a Saturday, it was the National Day of Prayer. And so there was a special session of parliament, and he actually got to speak before all of them, and we gave Bibles out to all of those political leaders. The prime minister got a Bible, the deputy prime minister got a Bible, as well as, again, also a presentation of the gospel. Right after Alan Brooks sat down from that, then the head of all the universities in the country, he got up and he said, we need to get the Bibles into the hands of not only our high school students, but we need to get them in the hands of our college students. And he said, I'm going to open the door for you to go to all the colleges in the country. And so that was a Saturday. Well, on Monday, we had a letter from him, from his office, saying, yeah, exactly that. We can go into any of the universities and present the Bibles to the students. So on that next Tuesday, we went to the largest university in Papua New Guinea, which is the University of PNG. It has about 5,000 students. And in 1 hour's time, we were able to distribute over 4,000 Bibles to those college students. They came, I believe some of them had to skip class as they sat there, listened to our presentation, and grabbed their Bibles. I mean, it was pretty exciting to have these college students eagerly listen to the presentation and then just grab their copy of the Word of God. And then so the door, what we thought was open, has been even more open to bigger and better ways.
That's just absolutely amazing. Of course, we're talking with Stephen Moldoff here about the open door God has set in Papua New Guinea, distributing the Word of God. We got a little over a minute left here, you know, I guess in these last few minutes or so here, what's resulting as a result of this? We're getting these Bibles in, and you got a great open door. What do you see happening in New Guinea as a result?
The great thing is the churches have been really taking advantage of this in a good way. Churches in, like, the city of Port Moresby, which was the capital city, well, those churches gathered together and did youth meetings. And then in other parts, this is the same thing happening. I'll use them as an example, though. These churches combined to have big youth meetings, and lots of teenagers have now been attending, went to attend these youth meetings. You know, they thought, okay, we got a Bible. Now what? Let's learn a bit more about God. They'd come to these meetings, and they'd get saved. I know the one in Port Moresby there, they planned a four-day rally. It then extended to be over 2 weeks, every night meeting, and teenagers coming to Christ, and teenagers then following up and getting baptized, and things like that. Churches seeing increase in their attendance, pastors getting text messages or phone calls from families saying, hey, we just got a Bible from our kid, brought one home. We got a question. There has been very tangible fruit that has been seen from the labor that's been going on. And that's just one city. And I personally was involved in a teen meeting in other cities and have seen teenagers come to Christ, seen teenagers who had never before gone to church, now attending church. The churches being asked to have ministries in the schools. And so now you have pastors who are actually teaching religious instructions, as they would call it, there in the public schools. I mean, there has been some amazing opportunities to connect churches with the community.
That is just incredible. Stephen Moldoff, we're running out of time here in this segment, and I want to thank you for calling in tonight, and we'll be putting this stuff up on our website, livewithpastoral.com, our Facebook page. Thanks for joining us, Steve. God bless.
Thank you very much.
Live with Pastor Al. I'm your late night live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick here with us this evening and even join in the conversation. We're going to open up the phone lines now. We haven't had the phone lines going in the past half hour. We had our special guest, Stephen Moldoff, talking about Bibles going into Papua New Guinea. We'll get some of that stuff posted there online as soon as possible. And one thing I did want to mention, we didn't get to touch on if you were listening in the last half hour, it cost them $3 per Bible to put a decent quality Bible into the hands of the students there, a Bible that would be probably unaffordable to the majority of the students. And so we'll get some of that information up there. And, the government contacted them. And my wife and I were talking about this, thinking, wouldn't it be amazing if the Lord tarries to look at New Guinea, say, 10 years from now, to see the effect of what this has had, this project of putting the Bibles into the hands of young people across the country, high school students, university students. These people would be going into the workplace by then, taking part in the government, taking part in industry and the economy and every aspect of society across New Guinea by that time. So pray for that. Well, like I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our website is livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find us on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al. And you can watch us on a line tonight on Facebook Live as long as the signal holds for whatever reason. It keeps cutting in and out tonight, but just a reminder, we will have, if you missed the first half hour of the program, at some point later in the week, we should have that uploaded to where you can listen to it, and I encourage you to do so. See how God is working in the world today. And of course, again, I am Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, which is the chief sponsor of our program here. And also, we are sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. East Coast Pizza is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And you may not be in the area here, Northeast Ohio, Cleveland area, to go to East Coast Pizza yourself, but maybe where you're at, you'd like to start a pizza shop, or you've got a restaurant, you need an excellent pizza recipe, dough, sauce, the whole thing, contact East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business, not a franchise, it's your own business, and for a lot less than what you might think possible. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100. And we do have a link to them on our website at livewithpastoral.com. Well, I wanted to move on to some other things here too tonight. And again, like I said, if you're listening, well, you know by now, the world did not come to an end yesterday. The rapture of the church didn't take place yesterday, and all those sorts of things. But we know that God has a plan, he has a purpose, and he's coming for his church at some point in time. He just hasn't given us the day or the hour. And anybody that presumes to say that they know the day and the hour, they're being rather presumptuous, and they're most likely going to be failing just like some of these people did. I thought it humorous that one of the main guys behind the world ending on September 23rd, 17 was asked by a radio station in Montreal to do an interview. I guess they wanted him on the air to do a play-by-play when the world ended yesterday, but he said that he was busy, well, with the end of the world coming and all. Of course he would be busy, but so he said he wouldn't be able to until perhaps the following weekend, which would be next week. So he must have been pretty confident that the world was actually coming to an end. Kind of like the guy that in 1988, I remember my wife and I were engaged, and some of my friends kept saying, "Oh, you're not going to get married. We got married in 1989. And they says, "You're going to miss it because the Lord's coming back in 1988. This guy had a book out, and it was all over the place, and he sent copies out, and he had speaking engagements all over. He was so sure the Lord was coming in 1988 that he had speaking engagements scheduled well into 1989. He was pretty confident, I guess, that the Lord was coming back in 1988, that he scheduled meetings all the way into 1989. Well, actually, maybe he knew something that the rest of the people buying his book didn't, because in 1989, when the Lord did not come back, he published a new book called 89 Reasons Why the Lord is Coming Back in 1989. For some reason, that didn't get the same traction that the first one did. But, and we all, of course, remember Harold Camping a few years ago with his May 21st failed prophecy of the coming of the Lord at 6 p.m. 24 times, of course, once in each time zone, 24 time zones. The Lord was going to come back 24 separate times, once for each time zone, at 6 p.m. exactly. And even though Harold Camping had a long track record of failed prophecies, and each time he said, "Oh, the Lord has revealed this to me. God has given me special insight into the scriptures," and people still follow these people. Well, the Bible has something to say about this. And let me turn over here to Deuteronomy chapter 18. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, and this is at the end of chapter 18. While I'm turning there, I was going to mention, too, that Deuteronomy chapter 13 tells what to do when a prophet speaks, and even if the thing comes to pass, if he tells you to follow after other gods, and I would also say along with that to follow something other than the Bible, the Bible says that you're supposed to not listen to that individual. In fact, the prescription in Deuteronomy 13 was that they be put to death. But in Deuteronomy chapter 18, it gives us the case for a prophet, like the failed Harold Camping in the past, like the failed Miller in the 1800s that, as a result of his failed prophecies, gave us the false cult of the Jehovah's Witnesses and the false teachings of the Seventh-day Adventists, this David Mead, I believe it was, that was cashing in, he was building up the prophets, prophits. Over this thing, selling books and getting speaking engagements, no doubt, are selling things on YouTube, I guess. But here's what Deuteronomy chapter 18 says, starting in verse 19. It says this, Deuteronomy 18, starting in verse 19, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I required of him." Now that's talking about when they don't listen to God, the prophet that he says he's going to raise up. And then he goes from there to the false prophets. He says, "But the prophet in verse 20, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When the prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord," this is Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22, "when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass. That is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Meaning, don't give him any mind. Don't take him seriously. Don't listen to him. Let me repeat that again. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. You know, a lot of people would have saved themselves a lot of trouble, a lot of grief, and a lot of money, and a lot of embarrassment if they would have looked at what Harold Camping, for instance, said, and said, you know what? He presumed to speak a prophecy in the name of the Lord, and it didn't come to pass. In fact, he did it several times. I'm not going to be afraid of him. I'm not going to pay attention to him anymore. Boy, if they'd have done that back in the 1800s when Miller told everybody he calculated the exact date and they sold their land and sold gave away possessions and put white robes on and sat up on the top of the house that they gave away or sat up on a hill somewhere waiting for the Lord, and then they were disappointed because he didn't come. And then he made another prediction and it still didn't happen. And yet people listened to him and followed him. The Bible said, he's spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And, I'm not going to by any means try to give you a comprehensive list of all the false prophets that we've had from time to time that have come on the scene. The gentleman that I referenced with the book 88 Reasons Why the Lord Was Going to Come Back in 1988, he was convinced God had given him special knowledge. And, you know, when it failed, and I didn't believe it then, and certainly after it failed, I wasn't about to get his 89 reasons why the Lord's coming back in 89. But you look at these things, and you look at these people, they're more concerned oftentimes with self rather than with you. And think about this. I mean, I was talking with a friend of mine this past week, and supposedly, you know, Nibiru was coming streaking in from the south so that we couldn't see it, other than the fact there's a lot of people who live on the earth in the southern hemisphere that would have seen it. And he was telling about a friend of his that was absolutely convinced that the world was going to come to end on September 23rd. And I said to him, I said, if it doesn't happen, I said, I'm not trying to be mean or something or make fun of this guy, but I said, what do you think he's going to do when the earth fails to come to an end on Saturday? And he paused for a moment and he said, you know, he'll probably believe whatever it is that he's told. And that's a sad thing, don't you think? That's a sad thing. Shouldn't we go to the Bible? Shouldn't we go to the Word of God and look to the Word of God for guidance and insight and understanding? I was telling our church tonight that we want people to develop a biblical worldview where we look at the world around us through the Bible. And when I look at this here in Isaiah chapter 8, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse number 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. See, the Bible is our final authority. Paul told Timothy to go back to the scriptures which were able to make him wise, the scriptures that he had known from a child. And that's what we need to do. Let me encourage you, when you see these things, go back to the Word of God. I had a caller that called me during the Harold Camping time to say goodbye. I mean, it was ridiculous. I said, well, give me a call if you're still here next week. And he said, oh, I won't be here. Well, he's called many times since then because Harold Camping was a false prophet. He was more interested in prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, than he was in being a prophet or in prophets, P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S. And he made a lot of money off from those failed predictions. Well, he knows better now. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call. Not sure I got those numbers out so much earlier, but that's the number, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question, we'd love to have you on here tonight. Excuse me. But also, I did want to mention, too, this idea of developing a biblical worldview. You know, when you begin to understand what God says about things, and you begin to, and we're never going to fully be able to do this in this life, but when you begin to see the world as God sees it, and you begin to get an understanding of what God is doing in the world, it makes some of these things a little easier to understand. When you begin to give God, I told one friend of mine one time, I said, he was struggling with a question about the Bible and whether or not it meant that he could lose his salvation or something along those lines. And I said, well, first off, have you given God the benefit of the doubt? Have you given God the benefit of the doubt? And, when we're not sure, think about this. Why do we always assume God's wrong, first off? God must be wrong. I heard somebody talking when they were pushing the same-sex marriage decision and arguing whether or not they should have that. And I remember this one woman who was talking. She was a college student, and the person talking to her said something to the effect of, does it bother you that you're saying we should dispense with thousands of years of human tradition and understanding of marriage? And she said, no, not at all. And he said, so in other words, you think you personally know better than everybody that's come before you? And she basically said, yeah, because it was her opinion. Her opinion must be better than everybody else's. Well, we want God's opinion. We want what God has to say to the law and to the testimony, as they read. If they speak not according to these, there's because there's no light in them. I wanted to read over here as I kind of paraphrase that or repeat that a little bit just quickly while turning over here to 2 Timothy. This is the one I wanted to give you here in 2 Timothy, and that is here in chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, where he says this. He says in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, that's one of those motivational promises from the Bible that people love to print out, put with a stirring picture and put it up on the wall to encourage one another. You know, nothing better when you're going through a difficult time than to put a promise of God on the wall that says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Doesn't that just get you going there? But it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, and it's a statement of fact. This is a real thing, and it's going to happen. You're going to go through some kind of persecution in your life as you live for Christ, and that doesn't mean you're going to be in danger of having your head chopped off or thrown in jail. There's other ways, and you can suffer some type of persecution, but as you live for godly in Christ Jesus, this is going to happen. And the reason is this, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We're in a spiritual battle. And that's what I'm meaning by developing a biblical worldview. Because as you begin to see these things, we understand that why it is that sometimes when you resolve to serve God and to live for God more fully than you have before, and then you say, well, if I'm doing this, how come I'm having all these problems? How come I'm having all this opposition? I remember when I was in the United States Air Force, and I was saved, but I wasn't living for the Lord at the time. And I remember there was a co-worker that I had. He was stationed there at our base, and he was working down the hall from me. And him and a number of people at the church he was going to off base were praying for me, unbeknownst to me. And finally, it culminated. I went to the church with him and different things, rededicated my life to the Lord, started trying to get my my act in gear and putting God first and foremost in my life, like I should have been all along. And you know, the amazing thing was, all of a sudden, as I was, my supervisor at the time thought I was just doing wonderful work. The moment that I got back in church and started reading my Bible more faithfully and working on my prayer life and trying to memorize scripture and trying to live a more godly life, guess what? All of a sudden, she was having problems with me. Oh, you know, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're falling behind in this. You're not doing that. And I'm thinking, well, a couple of weeks ago, I was doing really good. Well, yea, and all that live, will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're in a spiritual battle. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. So I understand this now because of the biblical worldview. I understand this. And then he says this, don't sit on the sidelines. Don't say, well, I better just back off a little bit here so things go easier. No, this is what he says in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, this is the thing. We're in this spiritual battle, and it can get overwhelming. And the more you try to serve God, the more you try to do for God, and you say, well, if I'm trying to live for God, how come these problems are happening in my life? How come I'm getting this opposition? And where is this coming from? Well, it's coming because we're in a spiritual battle. Paul had also told Timothy that to fight or to serve as a good soldier. And, excuse me, he said in chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In verse 15, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A soldier that's willing to endure hardness, a workman that's studying, that's laboring in the word. And then when we put this in perspective and we understand that the more we try to do for the Lord, the more the devil's going to oppose us because we're in a spiritual battle. And we understand that. That's that biblical worldview that we develop. And it helps us to understand and put things in perspective. And then rather than back off and sit on the sidelines, we realize that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to continue in the things which thou hast heard and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child. Thou hast known the holy scriptures, Paul wrote to Timothy, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he gives us that great passage that says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is what we're called to do. We're called to get into the Word of God. And then he goes on and tells us in the following chapter, chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, reprove, and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. We understand the battle that we're in, and we understand that God is with us. He loves us, he saved us, and he empowers us every step of the way. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.